My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Are they really going to rebuild? Because the Cardinals have never been a full rebuild team. They've never done that. They've never, you know, just started from scratch. And that would be a bad thing for St. Louis, because we don't really have patience for a five-year rebuild in St. Louis. That's not going to be met with a whole lot of happy thoughts. I still think they have some really, really great players to build around there. They have some really good young pitchers that are coming up through the system that are going to be awesome. They need to build up their position player minor league system a bit. There's not, from what I could tell, there's not a whole lot coming that's going to be like major impact.
We are joined by Matt Pauley, Sports Open Line host over on KMOX. Matt, thanks for joining us today. It sounds like the Cardinals don't have patience for a full rebuild. You buy that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was Adam Wainwright talking yesterday, and I think he's talking specifically about the fans, and I don't think it was ever going to be a 5-year full just tear the whole thing down and rebuild it. One of the problems is we just don't know what it's actually going to look like. When the Cardinals held that press conference a couple weeks ago, they simply stated that payroll would be going down this upcoming season. That could mean one of two things. It could mean they're taking the salary that's walking out the door and replacing it with guys coming up from the minor league system. So the Paul Goldschmidts, the Lance Lynns, the Kyle Gibsons, who account for a lot of money, that those guys are going to be replaced by people who are basically either already on the roster or already in the system. Or it could be a more extreme type thing where they're looking to trade a Wilson Contreras, a Nolan Arenado, a Sonny Gray. And those two paths are very, very different. That first one, I think you can do that and still be kind of the same type of team you were this past year, while in the background the infrastructure and everything is being built up, so hopefully you're more of a championship contender down the line. But if it's the latter of the two options, then it could turn into a pretty tough season next season.
What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. Like, I keep asking people who are smarter than me that question, and I don't think it's a full teardown. I don't think they're going to be non-competitive. I don't think they're going to be a 100-loss team, anything like that. But is Nolan Arenado, Wilson Contreras, and Sonny Gray all going to be on the roster next season? Maybe, but if you know the proverbial gun to the head, I'd probably say no, probably not. At least one of those guys is going to sit here and say, you know what, I don't have the stomach for a lack of high level, you know, competition. And if you can find a spot that I can go to where I can be really competing for a World Series, feel free to trade me. I think that is something that is probably to happen. But if it, I don't know for sure. And the other side of this is, the Cardinals might not know. They're still working through their financial projections. The TV, local TV money is very much up in the air. What are they going to do? It seems unlikely that they're going to be back on Bally Sports Midwest next year. That's not official yet. There's going to the games will still be available on cable, but there's probably going to be a direct-to-consumer option as well. But they're not going to be making the kind of money off TV that they were supposed to make on the deal. So they may need to know their financial situation better before they even know the answer to that question.
Hey, Matt, this is Ethan Hannaford. You kind of stole the last bit of my question there with your statement there at the end, but how much of what the Cardinals do in 2025 is dependent on how this TV stuff kind of works out here in the next couple of months?
Yeah, I think some of it. Now, if they were in a more competitive window, I would actually say more of it, because they can go into next season knowing that the heavy lifting is the work that Heim Bloom's going to be doing, putting in the infrastructure, putting in the technology, putting in everything that needs to be put in to help player development and to help players be the best version of themselves, areas that the Cardinals have really fallen behind. So that was always going to be the heavy lift this year, and there was going to be more focus on that than I think what was going on at the major league level. But that being said, your major league roster, the payroll number, is going to be somewhat dictated by the money that is coming in. And it's we're at a really weird time right now for this organization because they don't know what the local TV money is going to look like here moving forward. There's a big election coming up that's going to involve sports gambling in Missouri. And if that passes, that's going to be a new line of revenue for the team as well. They're very much in favor of that, but they're kind of sitting back and waiting. So that's going to line the pockets a little bit. They are really, truly looking at all things inside the ballpark to kind of change the general feeling of what's going on and just the game day presentation and how do you attract fans into the game for reasons beyond baseball. So there's just a lot going on right now. This is a really long question or a really long answer to a short question, but it has some impact. But I think we need to get through these next 12 months or so, and then they're going to have more of an idea of what that general income is going to look like on an every year basis.
So, Matt, this is Brad. I checked out of baseball probably around June. I was just not enthralled with the team and whatnot, and I kind of gotten past that. And now I turned on and I've been watching the National. So I'm going to shift a little bit here and watching the National, the playoffs and stuff like that. And I have found that there are some series that are really, really compelling to watch and other series are not as compelling to watch. The compelling series for me has been San Diego, Los Angeles. I think that the rivalry, the on-field intrigue has been great. But then I also have noticed that Bob Costas has been catching a lot of flack online. One of the things that I messaged Ethan about this, it seems like TBS, the broadcast, it just doesn't feel like it's capturing the atmosphere of the game. Is that really what we're seeing, or is this more of a production issue?
Yeah, I've been enthralled by all the series. Like, look at the four divisional series, Yankees, Royals, Guardians, Tigers, Phillies, Mets, Dodgers, Padres. I can think of big moments and really interesting things that have happened in all four of those series. So I think this has been an incredible playoffs. And the numbers would actually kind of disagree with you a little bit. Going into action, it was 2 days ago. I haven't seen updated numbers since then. But up to 2 days ago, television ratings this year for these playoffs were up 40% year over year. A 40% increase on a television rating year over year is absolutely unheard of. So there are a lot of eyes on what's going on right now. I think people who don't watch the Turner games all the time, it is a little bit of a different presentation. They do basketball a little bit differently, and they've got kind of their own way of doing things. And obviously, you think NBA basketball and Turner, you think about their Inside the NBA show. That's a very different kind of feeling show, and they've tried to apply that to hockey a little bit. They've tried to apply that to baseball. Turner's got the best national play-by-play guy in the business right now in Brian Anderson, who was doing the Guardians Tigers series. But I don't know. I haven't had a problem with anything. I like what I've seen, and I've been really entertained by the playoffs this year.
I wish I was entertained by baseball because I haven't been like for a year. So I'm going to turn the page for a second and talk about something that, at this point of year, we're always hopeful that the Stanley Cup is in our future. I don't know that we have a lot of folks who think that this year. Where are you on the Blues? What should our outlook be on the Blues as we go into this season?
Yeah, so I might be wrong on this one just based off what I'm seeing over these first two games. Going into the season, I didn't like this team. I didn't think this team was especially good. I didn't think they had much of an identity. I saw all these people on social media talking about the Blues are kind of a scary, quiet team to keep an eye on. And I just didn't see it. And it's only two games. It is only two games. But I have watched these first two games, and for them to flip the switch in that Seattle game where they played so terribly for the first 30 minutes, and then they scored the three goals in a minute 55 to take a 3-2 lead, and on the road they protect a one-goal lead for an entire third period on opening day for Seattle. That was impressive. And then last night, I don't know how many people were up at 12 o'clock in the morning watching hockey, but I was. And And for them to come back, they're down three goals in the third period, and they come back and win. I think I saw it was only the second or third time in the history of the franchise they've ever had a three-goal third-period deficit and actually won the game. This team is showing great character, great resolve. The pieces that were added in the offseason, I think, were really smart, good pieces. So I don't like to be somebody that changes their mind based off a very small sample, so I'm not really changing my mind, but I guess I'm opening up my mind to be wrong, because if they're any version of what we've seen in these last two games, this could turn into a fun team. Now, what does that mean for the season? It probably means they're a team that maybe sneaks into the playoffs. There's a lot of really good teams, and they don't stack up to some of those, but if in a kind of a transitional period for this team, if they take a step forward from, you know, last year kind of just missing out on the playoffs to this year getting into the playoffs with some really good young players on the roster, I think that'd be a really good step forward.
Matt, it seemed like even midway through this past offseason, you know, you talk about the transition that this Blues team is in, that there just wasn't a immediate point that they were really working towards. And we know that they have a solid prospect system, Dvorsky and some of these young guys. But to me, where things, my mindset changed, and I felt like I began becoming much more optimistic about this team, was when they offer-sheeted for Holloway and Broberg from Edmonton. And that seems like, not that it's going to immediately have all the impact in the world, but it seems like that move, and we've already seen those two guys look pretty solid on the ice in the first two games of the season, it seems like it has the opportunity to expedite things in this, not rebuild, reset, retune, whatever they were calling it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. And I didn't totally know what their impact was going to be. You give them the offer sheet, that's not done a lot in the NHL. You're obviously going to have to overpay a little bit for them, but they were a big part of a long playoff run last year. And they brought in some other pieces as well that have been part of playoff runs. You know, Ryan Suter coming in, I think he's a little bit long in the tooth for sure, but he's seen and done everything. So yesterday I heard Drew Bannister, the Blues head coach, talk about kind of the leadership and the culture on the team, and how some of the guys who had previously been on the team that he really liked how their leadership kind of stepped forward during the end of the season last year, and then you go add some players, including the guys that you mentioned in Holloway and Broberg, and really likes the way this whole thing has come together. And it's been fun. Like, it's, again, just two games. Who knows what's going to happen here moving forward, but it does feel like those guys are making a pretty big impact.
Hey, Matt, just to kind of round up all of the sports that's going on this weekend, Mizzou had a tough weekend last weekend. Now, that gives me the opportunity to say that my Arkansas Razorbacks actually upset the number 4 team in the country, Tennessee. So, Woo Pig is where we're going there. But anytime I get the chance to plug my Hogs, I'm going to do it. But Mizzou is playing the Minutemen from Massachusetts this weekend. They're 1-5.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
I have a pretty good feeling that Mizzou's going to be able to get healthy, and they should look pretty good.
Yeah, but it really doesn't matter. And in a perfect world, they would have played this game before last week. It really stunk for Mizzou when you're playing your first road game of the year going into a hornet's nest that is College Station, Texas. They looked terrible last week, and that loss could potentially cost them in the college football playoff and not getting in. When you look at the rest of the schedule and you look at the opportunity to come up with kind of those resume wins, they've still got Alabama on the schedule at Alabama, and winning that game would fix a lot of issues, but that doesn't seem likely. They'll still play Oklahoma at home. There's no guarantee Oklahoma's a top 25 team right now. There is no guarantee that they're going to be a top 25 team when that game comes around. Oklahoma Oklahoma's playing Texas this weekend. They've still got Ole Miss on the schedule before you get to the Missouri matchup. So there's a possibility there's only one top 25 team left on the schedule for Missouri, and they get just run off the field by Texas A&M. That's a debilitating loss for them. They'll be fine against UMass just the same way they were fine against Murray State and fine against Buffalo. It's on the road, so hopefully they can have some success away from Columbia. But I am concerned about this team. For a team that had expectations of getting into the playoff, the road to get there is much more challenging just because of the one-sided nature of that loss to Texas A&M.
Matt, I love you, but you might be the only man in St. Louis that cares about Kansas State. I'll still give you some love though. They got a fun one this week. Prime time. They're going to prime time and facing off against Dion in Colorado. I think that could be a pretty fun matchup.
Yeah, you know, Colorado is 4-1, 2-0 in the Big 12. K-State's 1-1 in Big 12 play. They had a really good win against Oklahoma State a couple weeks ago. So K-State's top 25 team. Boulder's not an especially tough place to go play, but I'm optimistic about what's going to happen. But I've also, look, I've seen my fair share of games at Folsom Field that all of a sudden just start going in a crazy direction. So Colorado has kind of become a national program because of the Deion Sanders thing, and for many it's rooting against Colorado because Deion has not exactly done things the way a lot of people would like a coach to do things.
Are you saying that Deion's a polarizing figure in sports? What?
Yes, I am certainly saying that.
He's been.
I'm rooting against him, and I've always been a Deion guy. And I just the way he has run that program and the way he has treated people has really put a bad taste in my mouth.
You heard it here first. Bulletin board material for Deion Sanders in Colorado. Matt Pauly is
listening to the Annie
right
Fry
now,
show
right now, yeah. Guys.
Well, isn't everyone?
Deion does get his suits made in St. Louis.
Oh, does
really?
He really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a local suit. I wish I knew the guy's name. Mike Claiborne knows him.
Of course he does.
Of course he does. Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, when you see those suits that Deion is wearing, that are those personalized ones, those are made in St. Louis.
How about that? I didn't know that. Well, yep. Matt Pauly, thanks for taking some time on a Friday to hang out with us, man. It's always good to talk to you. I hope your i3 broadband internet connection is going great right now.
We are on it right now. If I'm sounding good, then we're in good shape.
I love that. I'm working in plugs everywhere today, brother. That's just exactly how it's going. Annie goes away and the plugs start flying. That's how it is. Matt Pauly, always appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, thanks, guys.
So we are going to wrap up the big show. We are going to talk a little bit about our polling question. You've still got time to weigh in on that. What is the most likely result of this presidential election? Kamala wins the popular vote and the Electoral College. Trump wins the popular vote and the Electoral College, which is that's where Brad and Ryan seem to be going right now. Kamala wins the popular vote. Trump wins the Electoral. That's where I'm at the moment. And Trump wins the popular and Kamala wins the Electoral. That better not happen. If it does, we're in a world of hurt. We're going to talk about that on the other side. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today on The Annie Fry Show and 97.1 FM Talk.